We'll ask our next guest. He's Mike Sando from The Athletic. Always great to chat with him. How are you, Mike?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Antonio Brown, now that, he's going to sign this week, maybe he plays week two. Have you kind of wrapped your head around everything we've seen over the last, 48 hours, but going, further the last week or so?
No, it seemed very different than anything else. Usually you can kind of predict how things will go based on, what financial levers or incentives are in place, those sorts of things. And it feels like after he was cut by the Raiders and then news broke that he was going to go to the Patriots, that you really weren't sure who you could trust. The things that you were observing and making judgments off of didn't seem to be as reliable as they normally are. So I don't think any of us is fully sure exactly what happened, what everyone's motives were. But after watching the Patriots look like almost as good as ever last night, the thought of adding him is really kind of fantastical, amazing. I mean, can you imagine what they could look like with him? And even if they don't have him, they just ran Pittsburgh out of the stadium.
You're right. The Patriots look great, and they've never been afraid to add controversial figures or guys with quote-unquote character issues. But is Antonio Brown a little different? Is there still the possibility that he is, I saw someone describe him today as a Trojan horse.
You mean like he goes in there and...
And even he's too much, yeah.
Well, sure, that could certainly happen. I mean, I think, the one thing about the Patriots, they're not going to, bend the rules or anything for him. They're going to make it clear going in how it's going to be. And then they're going to hold him to that. And if he doesn't do it, then he'll be out of there, And I don't think any of us can predict after the way this thing's gone what's going to happen. But if we go all the way back to Pittsburgh, if he basically wanted out of Pittsburgh and he succeeded, he got to Oakland, and then he basically wanted out of Oakland, I don't think that necessarily means he wants out of everywhere. He got the chance to sign with whoever he wanted to sign with that would take him. That's New England now, so I would think that New England gets his best, which may not be good enough. Maybe his best is still bad, but I have more optimism than I reasonably should based on anything we've seen.
Mike Sando of The Athletic, our guest. It's the program with Walk and Rental, Sportsnet 650. Brown was one of the stories of the weekend. The Browns getting beat down was one of the other big shocks that we saw on Sunday. What is the most concerning aspect of what happened to Cleveland yesterday?
Well, I just think it's the leadership of the team. They have an unproven coach, a lot of personalities. They've really embraced the hype, and they've been brash and not as businesslike as maybe they should have been. So do they have the wherewithal to kind of manage all that, when you're going to have ups and downs in a season? Yesterday got away from them. I thought it was going to be a tough game for them because they're not great on their offensive line. Tennessee is not a terrible team. I think Tennessee can play people tough. So I wasn't surprised that it was a tough game. It got away from it at the end with the interceptions that made it worse than it looked worse than it probably was. But I wrote today, my column for The Athletic, one of the lead item was looking at teams that should, have some real worries after one game. And I led with Cleveland because I had those concerns going in, and I'm not sure they're going to suddenly grow up.
Miami is a team people have plenty of concerns about, and that score might actually flatter the Dolphins. Baltimore run roughshod over them yesterday. Mm-hmm. How does what Lamar Jackson did against the Dolphins change the way that he is viewed as an NFL quarterback?
Well, there's no one saying yeah, but about him for a week at least, right? I mean, he's talented, but, is he accurate enough? All those types of questions. I mean, he looked great. Now, the Dolphins looked horrible. So I think what you're doing now is you're more optimistic on him than you were. You're more open to the idea that maybe he was taken out of order. Here's somebody who had tremendous success in college, really was electric. He certainly should have gone higher than, say, Josh Rosen, right? I mean, that's one of my takeaways from watching all these drafts is, when a guy's a real star in college, sometimes that's a good indicator. I thought that on Deshaun Watson, too. It's like, why wasn't he going earlier?
Mm-hmm. Mike Sando, our guest. Do you make or do you put any stock into the report today that, you know, well, players are talking to their agents and multiple Dolphins, you know, want to be traded because it's so bad after 1 week? Is that something to read into, or does that happen, you know, more often than we think?
Probably happens more than we think. It may not be 20 players. It may be five. Who knows? But, I mean, I think when you lose 59-10, you're already on a team that's clearly, you know, cut a bunch of salary and adding draft picks. It's going to be a long year. I mean, just also, if you just look at their, you know, their upcoming schedule, I mean, they're going to play some of the best teams in the league over the next 3 weeks. I think they got Dallas in there, just some really tough games to win. So it looks like a terrible uphill fight. And I think it's a hard test for a first-year coach who, by the way, is importing, you know, kind of a level of strictness that comes from the Belichick tree that hasn't always exported well. I mean, it's almost rarely exported well. You could be dealing with, you know, similar sort of thing if the Lions struggle, another team being built in that image. So I think it's concerning for Miami when you're clearly, what do you call it, tanking, playing for the future, whatever it is. We all know what it is. We all recognize it when we see it. It's going to be a long year. They're going to lose a lot of games. It's hard to keep a team together.
There was this thought that, hey, boy, the Cowboys are not the Cowboys without Ezekiel Elliott, and they ended up getting that done. And the L.A. Chargers and a lot of people had a different feeling when it came to Melvin Gordon. He's a good player, but he's not Ezekiel Elliott in that attack. And then what do we see yesterday? We see Austin Eckler just handle the duties just fine. So what happens now? What does the Melvin Gordon camp think as they're watching that yesterday against the Colts?
Well, I would think he has to come in at some point, unless he's just really stubborn. I don't know what he's gaining, you know, because that's a team that, even though they have some injuries, you're right, they have a decent, you know, decent running backs there. I think there's a lot of feeling among the statistically inclined observers of the NFL that, you know, the great backs are a little overrated anyway, that you can have good backs, and let's face it, the ball's in Phillip Rivers' hand every play, and that's what gives them their chance. And I watched that game last night. After all the games were over, I just watched through the whole thing. I mean, Rivers looks great against a good Colts defense. So I think Chargers are going to be okay, and he's going to have to come in at some point. But I would have thought he would have, you know, almost come in by now, just based on what he has to gain.
Good close game between the Chargers and the Colts yesterday. Another close game that nobody expected to see coming in Seattle. As you're keenly aware, people in Vancouver follow that team closely. Should Pete Carroll today be more concerned with his O-line or his secondary?
That's a good question. I mean, they're both got to be concerning. I think, you know, probably the secondary. They've had line issues before, and they seem to sort of figure it out offensively. It's not always pretty, but I think they'll have their moments. I think they've got decent talent on that side of the ball. They know how they want to play. In the secondary, in the safety position, you know, you're watching Earl Thomas make an interception for the Ravens yesterday, and you're watching that play, 55-yard pass in the final 10 seconds of the second quarter. That should never be completed over the head of a safety. It didn't look – it was kind of sub-professional grade. You know, you just don't see that type of a breakdown where the guy's jumping and it goes right over him and he's clearly out of position. So that's concerning, but I think both those issues for the Seahawks will work themselves out. I think Seattle, you know, Pete Carroll's a coach of the secondary. You know, I think they'll figure that out.
Here's Mike Sando, joins us from The Athletic here on the program. Andrew Walker and Scott Rintoul, Sportsnet 650. Vancouver. Did you buy into the Dallas hype, the best team they've had in years, and did yesterday? It was against the New York Giants, but did it help you on your way to believing in that hype?
Yeah, I picked them to win that division. A lot of people are on Philly, and I you know, sort of agree. If it was if we knew everyone was going to have all their players, I just feel like, you know, a little bit concerned about how good Carson Wentz is going to be coming off the injury, and can he hold up? So, you know, Dak Prescott, he's going to be there every week. You know, he really is a sturdy player, and I think he's probably, you know, a little bit underrated. And let's not read too much into beating the Giants, because I don't think the Giants are a good team on either side of the ball, but it was a great start. And I think that he's a good quarterback. They can win with him. I don't know, you know, are they going to go all the way? Who knows? Only one team does every year, but I think they're going to be a playoff team. I think they're a solid roster. They got a nice little window here the next couple seasons, and yes, I was impressed.
Yeah, Dak's on the good side of the ledger. There were a lot of other quarterbacks on the other one. Who are you more concerned about if you're cheering for these two teams, Carolina and San Francisco? Cam Newton, Jimmy Garoppolo, both coming off injuries, both looking shaky at times yesterday.
Well, I guess I'm, you know, we know what Cam Newton is if he's healthy, and so you don't have a lot of concern about what he is when he's healthy. I think Cam Newton's, you know, a pretty good quarterback. I think with Garoppolo, we don't know yet. You know, we don't even know if he can hold up for a year. He threw another pick six, you know, yesterday. I think he had one in the opener last year, too. So he seems to throw a fair number of interceptions, and I still don't know that he can make it through a year. So they won the game, but really the Bucs lost the game. And so I would have a little more concern with him.
He is Mike Sando from The Athletic. Always great to chat, Mike. Enjoy the rest of the football on Monday.
Thank you.
Sportsnet 650.